glad to have everybody hanging in there, joining us. Of course, we'd like to have you join us on Facebook and
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
That is correct. And we'll be sometime in the next, month and a half, 2 months? We're going to be announcing any special...
I don't think it's going to be that long.
Oh, it's going to be sooner than that.
I think it's going to be sooner than
nice.
That. Yes.
I didn't want to jump too far.
Well, I'm...
Cool.
We're just verifying a couple of dates here.
Perfect. Well, that's good. That would be for the Fish With Us.
Yes.
Cool. I'm excited. That'll be good. Every year it's fun. We have a good time. Good
yes.
food. Good times.
Yes. We're working on some things.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I will be, too, once I get everything. You get everything finalized, and I can work on my side.
Yes.
Which is a good thing. Wanted to just throw something out, Don. I read an article, and I don't have anything in front of me about it, but Steve Felagy, he writes for the Outdoor News.
Okay.
And Rob Driesline's publication. And we've done a story, I think about 3 weeks ago, regarding Red Lake and what's going on up in Red Lake as far as the band's attempt to gain access to the remainder of Red. Right now, they don't have access to the northeast little chunk of the lake that's open for fishing. And what was brought up was, I didn't think of it this way, but now I'm getting it. Steve brought up a point. He said, we need to be mindful of what happens with this particular case and allowing whatever decisions are made on the Red Lake and the northeast side, because Red Lake is different than other tribal fisheries in that that's a closed fishery. Once that is ceded or taken into the band's territory, there is no fishing that will be allowed on Red Lake for a regular angling non-tribal member. So closed versus open. Open being Mille Lac is an open. It's managed. The territory around it is managed by the Mille Lac Band, Ojibwe, and that allows fishing to occur. There's netting that happens, but nonetheless, it's an open fishery. And there's a number of them, Vermilion, the Fond du Lac Bands, a number.
Okay.
But what he brought up was, be careful of the precedent that's set and be careful on what messages are sent when it comes to that piece. And I thought it was I had to think about it for a minute because Red is a big fishing opportunity. People love fishing up there. And if that occurs and it closes it, I'm curious as to what, would there be backlash? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's hard to comment on something that you're not totally familiar with all of the parameters,
mm-hmm.
you know, with what's going on there, what the history has been. I mean, there would be, and to be honest, I've never fished Red Lake. And I know it's two ginormous bodies of water that are kind of connected now. Are they like an east and a west or a north and a south?
North, south, Red.
North, south.
And the northeast chunk, there's a line.
Is that the only place?
That's
that
the only place you can fish on Red. The regular non-tribal angling community can fish.
Okay, so how do they know the boundaries?
It's a GPS line.
Okay.
You draw.
And you can't fish west of that?
Nope.
Or south of it, I guess you'd say.
I think, if I'm not mistaken,
I don't know what the thought process is or why they would want that to be the case.
Yeah.
But there'd have to be a lot of information made available to even discuss honest.
Yeah. But it was just an interesting and thought-provoking in the fact that the profit that comes into the community, the benefits that come in a Mille Lac situation between the resorts and the casino and all that and how they develop that. And then again, also how it's changed with Red Lake having in the past a fish processing for walleye, having it.
Do they commercially fish?
It's it's gone in and out and in and out. And the problem is that for years back, it was fished commercially and then it was fished out. Then they asked for help from the state. The state's when the state shut it down. I think you remember that's when a big crappie thing went on. Everybody went up to catch crappies. The walleye were, you couldn't fish for them, but the crappies were massive.
Yep.
And then the walleye came back, and then they went back with the tribal change. They went back to basically processing a fish processing, and then they were devastating the fish again. So it happened twice within a period of time. I'm not going to give exact dates and windows, but the DNR helped bring, state DNR helped bring that back in that particular situation. So there's cooperation that I think has to happen between all parties involved. And I think it's, how do we look at a resource? And that's the one thing I think we have to consider, all sides.
Absolutely.
And where and what is going to be the best benefit for that particular case. And that's one of the things that I thought it was very thought-provoking from Steve. And it was just a little opinion piece he does, but it kind of raised my, I don't know, thoughts and questions that...
And how can we deal with these situations when they arise? Yep.
Well, and how do you deal with, because is politics going to play a part? I think it will in the worst possible
usually
way.
Usually does.
Always does. So, hey, tell you what, hang tight. We're going to be right back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. So, Don, I had seen an article just... recently about Washington State, the governor had just signed a gun control package, including a assault weapons ban. And the quote was, no one needs an AR-15. So it always brings my ire up a little bit when people make statements that you don't need that. Well, it's not a matter of needing it. Understanding what an assault weapon
is an assault weapon.
Exactly. And what's really the sad thing, politicians, I would say the majority of them have no idea what they are. Or they're capitalizing on the fear, which is fear-mongering, which is the same thing that's happened for years, regardless of what party you're talking about.
Part of the problem, in all honesty, is the media, and they have used the words assault weapon and allowed it to be used when they're really sporting rifles.
Yep.
And an assault weapon is something that is used in the military. They're totally different. You know, a rifle is simply a tube with a hole down the middle of it that can send a projectile.
A solid projectile.
Yes. And the cosmetics on it, you know, I mean, I guess it looks scary.
And it includes the method, the firing rate method with anything that's accessible to anyone in the public is a single trigger pull, single fire of a
semi-automatic,
a ballistic, some type of whatever shell, right? Semi-automatic.
Well, unfortunately,
it is not pull the trigger.
Those that are not in the know have been watching too many movies.
They have been. They don't understand it.
Or video games.
You can't get without a special permit that is extensive, either a law enforcement or similar permit. You cannot get an automatic weapon. It is not available to just anybody by any means. It's the most restrictive possible thing you could ever have.
Yeah, well, and the next important thing is that anybody, in my opinion, anybody that purchases one, a regular AR type 15 or any type of firearm for that matter needs to have the proper training.
Absolutely.
I think it should be a requirement to purchase.
It should be. It should be. So the story goes, the mood in Washington State Capitol, this is Washington State, was jubilant as Governor Jay Inslee signed a trio of gun control bills, which immediately bans the manufacture, purchase, or importation of so-called assault weapons. Party safe tonight, the governor told supporters after signing the bill. He said Inslee and the attorney general, both Democratic Party members, pushed for the gun control package. With the governor's signature, Washington becomes the 10th state to adopt an assault weapons ban. Quote unquote, no one needs an AR-15 to protect your family, he said, while surrounded by family and members of shooting victims. You only need that to kill other families. Wow.
Yeah, that's way off the mark.
It's just scary. Earlier, lawmakers passed a bill mandate safety training. It requires a 10-day waiting period to buy a gun, as well as a bill that will require gun makers and dealers to take reasonable steps to protect their products and keep them out of the hands of dangerous individuals. The bill would require safety training and waiting periods affecting starting January 1st, 24th. We lead this country in so many ways, and we're leading on this. I'm not sure any state has ever taken this 3 steps in one day. He said, well, those bills are to celebrate, there are more things to do against gun violence. I don't know, Don. It's a little frustrating.
Well, it's unfortunately, I think a lot of times you're if you get in a conversation with someone about this type of thing, it's usually ignorance.
Yep.
You know, they're just uninformed about what the reality is. Do you know there are more people killed in America annually with hammers than with rifles? So we don't have a big, we're not closing down the hardware stores to sell hammers.
And I know and people are going to say, oh, that's not a valid argument. Somebody can do this or that. The point comes down to the fact that when you outlaw a lot of things in this world, and it's still not going to stop the bad guys from doing bad things. There is a lawsuit that's challenging the ban that was announced literally simultaneously as the bill was signed. The Second Amendment Foundation filed a complaint in Washington, accused the lawmakers of violating the Second Amendment, with an outright ban of semi-automatic rifles. There, they stipulated, look, it's a semi-automatic weapon. You can't just go ban that. States put politics ahead of constitutional rights and is penalizing the law-abiding citizens, while the legislation does nothing to arrest and prosecute criminals who misuse firearms in defiance of all existing gun control laws. Because it's not like there's no laws in place that are preventing somebody from doing it. That's the thought that comes into play. NRA has also signed opposition to at least two of the bills, said the organization already has lawsuits working their way through the courts. We're a nation of laws, and they have the right to challenge that, he said. Our record so far is pretty good against the NRA and Second Amendment Foundation. We're undefeated and plan to keep that record straight, is what the office of the governor said. So, yeah.
I'm guessing it'll get challenged. But that's...
Well, it should be challenged. You know, that's one of those big things that comes into play. It should be challenged. There's no question about it. I think that's a important piece. So, out of Minnesota shotgun zone for deer hunting, mostly eliminated in the Senate bill.
Has that been passed?
Minnesota State Environment, Climate, Energy Omnibus Finance Bill eliminates the shotgun zone for firearms deer hunting season, with the exception of Olmsted and Dodge counties. This means hunters could use rifles to hunt deer, where in the past the southern zone only allowed shotguns and pistols. What are your thoughts?
Effective when? When is that effective?
Senate Environment passed the bill April 20th, 37-29, heads to conference committee for the House and Senate to seek common language and appropriations. It would be reasonable steps towards stewardship for the natural resources and the environments. And Our budget improves the environment by planting new trees, lost trees, da 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 da. And the Senate bill reasonably will be closing the governor's budget proposal. $35 million are allocated to modernizing boat accesses and another $35 dedicated to improving fish hatcheries. So there's a lot of things involved with the bill, Don.
My opinion on it is I think, you know, hunters, if whenever that takes effect, whether it's this year or the following year, I don't know. But the hunter, it's going to be the responsibility to be much more cautious about their shooting lanes. They're going to have to do some planning because, you know, a bullet's going to carry a lot further than a slug does.
Right. And of course, the conversation is it's going to be uniform across the state because the rest of the state uses rifles.
Right.
The difference being that there's more open area within the southern part of the state, farmland, yeah, et cetera.
But they're comparing this to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is rifle statewide, and their issues with having problems are less than even in Minnesota,
yep,
with the slug season.
Yep.
So I think they're saying it's going to be more safe because you're going to be way more accurate.
Well, and you can see.
And you can see what you're shooting at, yes.
Yep. And again, the legislators aren't sure if the amendment will be passed in the revised bill after committee. We'll see. But it's put out there.
It's on the docket. It hasn't passed at this
amendment
point.
Also offered to provide full funding to the carp barrier at Lock and Dam 5 for invasives. It wasn't adopted, but they're planning to put $2 million into capital bonding to design and permitting for the process for the carp barrier to be installed.
You know, a carp barrier really doesn't do any good in a situation like we're in right now where the water's going over the top of the dams.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
It's still going to remain in front of the dam so that they will keep the carp away from that point of entry. And that's the bonus point. So that is where it will help,
sure,
and provide us with that protection that we need to have so they don't get massive flows of the invasives coming up through the chute, as they say.
Right.
So that's going to be a key piece of it. So I don't know. What else are we going to wrap up, Don? Pretty much, I think that does.
Well, stay tuned. Today. We'll be hopefully announcing our Fish With Us promotion coming up here over the next few programs.
I'm excited. That'll be fun. You guys, I certainly am excited about you hanging out with us. For Don, Ava, myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors. Join us next week. Who knows what's going to happen, but it'll be fun. See ya.